Good to have you back with us this evening. Luke chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 19 through 31. Remember, our task is to teach a lesson on the five rich men of Luke, and that's what we're going to do. There's five of them. You can go home tonight and see how many you can find in the book of Luke. It was a strain to get the fifth one, but we're going to bring a lesson on the five rich men of Luke. Last night we looked at Luke chapter 12 and we looked at the rich fool. Remember the key verse was beware of covetousness. And what covetousness does is it causes people to forget. Their mind gets so much on gain and getting that they forget the most important things, which are the spiritual things and the eternal things. So that was our lesson yesterday. Luke chapter 16 is the rich man and Lazarus is what we're going to look at tonight. And I'm going to go ahead and read the text. It's not that long, and it's something you already know, but it's a very important text of Scripture. Look down at verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, and he was full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in your life received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we have this privilege of teaching tonight, and we're thankful once again for this fine number of adults that's in our adult class. And Father, we pray that you have your way tonight. And Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit would come in our class and you'd help us as we teach. And Lord, we pray for open hearts and open minds to what's going to be said. We also pray for all the young people. Lord, we're so thankful for all the young people that's here this year. We pray your blessings upon them and the teachers as they teach. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Glance up at verse 13. And I want to read these three verses also, just laying the foundation for you. It says, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, the idea of mammon is riches. You cannot serve God and riches. I can't read that verse of Scripture without thinking about Neely. Y'all remember Neely, don't you? He was our doorman back there for years. He's my uncle. And for years, he made a profession of faith, of course, younger in his life. And he come faithful to church, of course, when he was saved. And he walked with the Lord. And then what happened is he said, Jeff, you just can't serve God and money. He became a businessman, and he got involved in the business world, and it took all of his time. And every time I read that verse, I think about him. He said, Jeff, you can't serve God and money. And what happened later on? He came back And he served the Lord the rest of his days until the Lord called him home. So here's another example where covetousness is a problem. Just like the first rich man, this next rich man had the same problem that the other rich man had last night that we looked at in Luke 12. This man's riches also caused him to forget the spiritual things. He's going to make the same mistake. This text is a whole lot more graphic than the other text. I mean, this text really gets down where you live at because it don't sugarcoat anything. It just shows you how things are. And I don't know about you, that's how I like it. I like to know just how things are, and that's what this text does indeed do. Now, notice who he's talking to in verse 14. I wanted to show you who his audience was. When you're studying the Bible, it's good to get you a little background and see who he's talking to. If you'll look in verse 14, it says, "And the Pharisees also who were covetous heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men. God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." So this story of the rich man and Lazarus was told to the Pharisees. You'll notice he mentioned in the text that they were what? Covetous. He also mentioned in the text that they justified themselves. In other words, when you get to looking at the Pharisees, here's what you need to know about them. They were religious lost men. They were religious lost men. That's what they were. They believed in God. They believed in heaven. They believed in hell. They believed in Bible creation. They believed in the Ten Commandments. But they were as lost could be, because they rejected Jesus. You see, salvation is through Jesus. They knew a lot of religious things, but they turned their back on the Lord. Gospel of John chapter 8, here's what the Lord Jesus told them. "Unless you believe that I'm He," that's the Messiah, "unless you believe that I'm He," He said, "you'll die in your sins." He told them that twice. So, that's who the background of this story of the rich man and Lazarus, that's who he's telling it to. He's talking to religious lost men, covetous men, men who in their religion cared more about money than anything else. Do we have them today? We sure do. So this ain't nothing new. This has always been. Those type of folk, I want you to hear me now. Those type of folk will answer for themselves. But you want to know a little something else? You'll answer for yourself too. You're not responsible for the religious lost men. You're responsible for you. So don't use them as an excuse. I hear people use people that are hypocrites for an excuse all the time. Don't use other people for an excuse. You won't answer for them. But you will answer for you. So be sure to keep that in mind. All right, I'm going to give you five considerations. A consideration is something you think about. Something that you think about. I'm going to give you five of them in this text. You ready for the first one? Consideration number one. The first thing I want you to consider from this text is life doesn't end when one dies. Life doesn't end when one dies. After your physical life is over, then you will go out into eternity. And that's what you see in this text. Let's look back at it again. It says, verse 22, "And it came to pass that the beggar died." See, there's physical death. But notice he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He went to the abode of Abraham. He went to paradise. He went to heaven. But you'll notice he continued living. Notice, everybody see that? He might have physically died in this life, but when someone dies, what happens is their spirit leaves their body. And when you're born again, when you're saved, when you've trusted Jesus, then you go off to be with the Lord. But the first thing you really want to consider is life doesn't end when you die. It isn't over. There's an eternity after that. And one of the main goals of my life is to warn as many people as I can that there indeed is a life after this one. That there indeed is an eternity after this one. And if that little bit of time we spend here, the Bible says the average, in Psalms 90 and verse 10, says the average lifespan of man is 70 years. 70 years. Like I said last night, that sounds like 6 million whenever you're a teenager. But the closer you get to it, you realize how fast it goes by. Psalms 90 says it's soon over and we fly away. You remember that old hymn we sing, I'll Fly Away? That comes from Psalms 90. It's soon over and you fly away. You know what the important thing is tonight? Where will you fly away to? That's the most important thing in the world. So, our theme verse is, what is a man profited if he gained the whole world, but he loses his own soul? It's in a question. Well, there ain't nothing worth losing your soul over, is there? I mean, a lot of times people say, well, you know, I'd get saved, but I can't give this up. Or I'd get saved, but I can't do this or that. There ain't nothing worth losing your soul. Do you not agree with me? There's nothing worth losing your soul. No bottle, no man, no woman, no drug, nothing is worth losing your soul. That's why we've set that down in Matthew 16, verse 26. What is a man profited if he gained the whole world but lose his soul? So, life doesn't end. Life doesn't end when you die. You need to be ready for two things. Are you ready for what those two things are? You need to be ready for the rapture. You need to be ready for Jesus' coming. And number two, you also need to be ready for dying, because one or the other is going to happen. I'd like to be here when Jesus comes, wouldn't you? Hearing the trumpet sound, going out on your porch and looking up, and there he comes. Wouldn't that be a glorious thing to behold, and being caught up together? Either way, I'm going up. I can lay my head down on the pillow at night, and I don't worry about what's going to happen. You know, well, if I go during that nighttime hour, I'm ready to go. You really can't have peace of mind. Hear what I'm about to say. You really can't have peace of mind until you have peace with God. When you have peace of God, then you know that you can have peace of man. That's the most important thing. So consideration number one that I want to give to you out of this text, I wanted you to consider that life doesn't end when one dies. You just leave here, your body stays here, but your spirit goes on. And it goes out into eternity. It either goes to eternal life. Of course, you get eternal life when you believe. Did you realize that? That life just continues on. You're either going to have eternal life or you're going to have eternal torment, one or the other. There's no middle ground in this thing. Number two, consideration number two. You'll notice in this text, and I always thought this was cool, it mentions in verse 20 there was a certain man named Lazarus. Everybody see it? The Scriptures names him. We know what his name is. What was the rich man's name? Doesn't say. Doesn't even record his name in Scripture. But he had to have a name. He was a man. He had a house. He had a table that was on a flat roof where he would eat his dinner. And they would set this old beggar, and said they'd lay him at his gate. You know why they laid him at his gate? Because he couldn't walk. So on top of being a beggar, he was also a cripple. He had to depend on people to carry him around and then lay him at a place where someone might care enough about him to give him a little something to eat. That's the kind of life that this man had. That's the kind of life that he had. But I couldn't tell you what the rich man's name was. But I can tell you about Lazarus. He had a name. Both of them had a name. Why didn't it name the rich man? God didn't know him. All God knew what his name was. But you know, one of the scriptures, it's a good scripture for you to also to remember. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. This will make more sense to you when I read the text to you. I said God didn't know him. And by that, what I mean is that he didn't belong to the Lord. He wasn't one of the Lord's sheep. John chapter 10 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. Let me say it when we're done. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Lazarus was one of the Lord's sheep. He knew the Lord. He had a home in the Father's house. He was redeemed. Sins was paid for. All of that. And the day he died, he just went off to be with the Lord. Because the Lord what? The Lord knew him. He knew him by name. He knew him by name. Matthew chapter 7. Now here's something you never want to hear once I get down to the verse I'm going to go to. He warns you. Well, let's go ahead and look at verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You know what the will of the Father is? That you trust in his Son. That's the will of the Father. That you trust in his Son. That you receive his Son, the Lord Jesus, as your Savior. That's the reason why God sent his Son forth, is so that he could pay the debt that I owed, so that I would be saved from torment and have everlasting life. So it says here many, verse 21, Matthew 7, 21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That just simply means not everybody claims to be saved is saved. But it says, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now watch this in verse 22 and 23. Listen for the famous words, I never knew you. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In your name we casted out demons, and in your name we done many wonderful works. Stop. What to say they did? They did many wonderful works. It even says that they casted demons out of people. That's what they're saying here. That's what it says here in the verse. It also says they prophesied in Jesus' name. That means they gave messages to people they said was from God. That's what they did. I mean, look at all they did. Doesn't that all that sound good? This is what the Lord will tell them. All professing to you, I never knew you. You don't want to hear that from the Lord. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Did you notice back in verse 22, prophesied in his name, casted out demons, done many wonderful works? Whose name's mentioned? What name is missing out of verse 22? Jesus' name. There's no other name given amongst men whereby you must be saved than through Jesus' name. They never trusted Jesus. Trusted in themselves. Trusted in their deeds. But they never trusted Jesus. I never knew you. Let's go back to our text now. Consideration number one tonight, life doesn't end when you die. You go out into eternity. The important things is that you're prepared for eternity. Number two, consideration number two, does God know you? He didn't even name the rich man in Luke 16. I don't know if his name was George, Bob, or what. He had some kind of name, but the Lord didn't put it there. He just called him a rich man. A boy, he called Lazarus, Lazarus. Why is that, folks? He knew him. One of his people. One of his sheep. He knew him. My question tonight is, does he know you? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Have you asked him to save you? Does he know you? Consideration number three. Now, you one, I couldn't wait to get to this one. But consideration number three. Listen to this. Being saved doesn't mean you'll never have hardships in this life. Being saved doesn't mean you'll never have hardships in this life. Was Lazarus saved? Well, sure he was saved. Did he have hardships in this life? He did. I mean, folks, he was crippled. He was homeless. I don't know if he had any family or not. I mean, he had to have, you'd think he had family, but usually what would happen if you had any family and you was where you couldn't work, then your family would take care of you. Not only was he homeless, but he probably didn't have no family to watch after him either. You know what else he didn't have? He didn't have a house, didn't have a horse, didn't have none of these things. And you know what else he didn't have? He didn't have food. Was he saved? Yeah, but he went through a lot of hardships. He went through a lot of difficulties in this life. Crippled, homeless, no food. Oh, he had some kind of disease, I think. Some people think he had leprosy. I don't know that he had leprosy or not. But the Bible records that he had sores all over him. Open, and we look him up, it's open running sores is what he had. So he would have been a pitiful sight for you to behold. He probably smelled too. So did he have a hard time? Yeah. Consideration number three is being saved doesn't mean you won't have a hard time in this life. God doesn't promise you that nowhere. He promises to be with you in everything. He promises to provide your needs. He gives you a great future ahead. But God's people, we still face hardships in this life. Even though we're what? Even though we're saved. But Philippians 1 and verse 21 says, Paul said it best, through the inspiration of the Spirit, he said, for me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. Did Lazarus gain when he died? Did Lazarus gain when he died? Oh, yes, he did. He gained glory. He wasn't sick anymore. Did you notice? When we got over in the text, he said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and come and cool my tongue. That means Lazarus could move around now. It means he wasn't crippled anymore. Didn't have sores all over him anymore. He wasn't a beggar anymore. He went off to be with the Lord. And he had, his death was indeed a gain. Wasn't a loss, it was a gain. Here's some of the things that he gained. He gained heaven. He gained glory. He gained sicklessness. Wasn't sick anymore. And he gained Jesus, all of that. Isn't that a glorious thing? So he had hardships here, but those hardships here was only temporary. They weren't eternal. To die was a gain for him. Consideration number four. I'm giving them all to you again at the end. Who was the rich man in the text? Somebody holler it out. Who was the rich man in the text? Lazarus was the rich man. Why was he rich? He had eternal life. He had eternal life. He was the rich man. He was named. The Lord knew him. When he died, he went to be with the Lord. Let's put it another way. This happened 2,000 years ago. For 2,000 years now, Lazarus has been with the Lord. Lazarus has been in paradise. Lazarus has been without suffering, sorrow, pain, etc. For 2,000 years, how many years? 2,000 years it's been that way. Guess what else? For 2,000 years now, the rich man's been in torment. There's no changing of the state that he's in either. And that's how it will always be. Think about it. That's how it will always be. That's why I selected our theme verse. Matthew 16:26. What has a man profited? He gained the whole world, but lose his own soul. Buddy, when you compare the two for the past 2,000 years, you indeed see who the rich man is. Turn to Revelation chapter 7. I'm almost done. Revelation chapter 7. Boy, this is a pretty picture. Revelation covers last things. And in Revelation chapter 7, you have a group of people, saved people, and they're pictured here. And I want you to see how they're pictured. It says in verse 13, and one of the elders answered and said, "Who are these that are arrayed in white robes?" And he said, "Sir, thou knowest. These are they which came out of great tribulation." Now watch this right here. They washed their robes, and they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? That's Jesus. They were made white, washed clean, in the blood of the who? In the blood of the Lamb. That means these people trusted Jesus as their Savior. They trusted that He died on Calvary for them and rose again the third day, and He washed them clean. Watch this now. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He sitteth on the throne, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Listen at verse 16. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Verse 17. And the Lamb, who's the Lamb, folks? Somebody shout it out. It's Jesus. It's another name for Jesus, the Lamb of God. Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's the future of the future of the born again. The future of those that trusted Christ. You want to be part of that number. You want to be part of that number. Consideration number 5, and this will be the last one we look at. Go back to Luke 16. I'm going to share something with you. You might not know it, but I want to share a little something with you. One of the hardest things a pastor has to do is to do the service, funeral service of somebody that's lost, someone that never professed to know Jesus. That's one of the hardest things in the world to do. When someone's been born again, if someone's trusted Christ, you can really take the scriptures and comfort. But boy, it's a difficult task If someone's never trusted Jesus, it's a difficult task. How I do it comes from this text. I'm going to share it with you. It said, verse 27, it says, "Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou," he's talking about Lazarus, he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead. And verse 27 said, "Then he said, I pray thee that thou wouldest, therefore, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house." That was the request. I want you to listen to this now. This is a man that's already in torment. And you, what you're getting to see is behind the scenes how things are. And notice what he says. "I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house." He says, "I got five brothers. I got five brothers there." Where's the rich man at? Well, he's in torment. The five brothers were still living. Here's what his request was. "You send him back. Send Lazarus back. And you have him tell them about this place." That's what the request was. That's mighty. That's something really to think about, isn't it? His one request was, he wanted water in the beginning. He couldn't have no water, but nor could Lazarus be sent back either. He said, "I got five brothers, that they may, he may testify of this, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they would repent." He said, "Father Abraham, if you would send someone back from the dead to warn them, they'd listen." Here's the answer. Abraham said, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." How do I do such services? What did this one lost man's second request was? "Go back and warn my five brothers." That's how I do it. Can't preach to the dead, but you can preach to the living. That's how I do it. I preach to the people's family. I preach to the person's family based off this text. That's what they'd want you to do. That's what they'd want you to do. What's Moses and the prophets? Somebody shout it out. It's the Old Testament scriptures. New Testament hadn't even been written yet. Another name for the Old Testament is Moses. First five books was written by Moses. The rest of them's prophets. Now, I want you to listen what he's saying. He said, "Listen, they got the Bible. If they won't listen to the scriptures, then they're not going to listen even if someone come back and said, 'Hey, I come from torment back here, and I want to tell you that what's out there waiting.'" He says, if they won't listen to what the book says, which is whose words? If they won't listen to God's word, they wouldn't even listen if someone went back from the dead and told them about the place. Well, are we better off than they were 2,000 years ago? Yeah, we got the New Testament too. Old and new. We got a completed book. We got the story here of the rich man and Lazarus. We know what's coming. We know what's coming. The greatest thing in the world and the most important thing in the world is to be prepared for it. Prepared for dying. Prepared for if Jesus comes. The only one way you can be prepared for it, and that's by asking Jesus to save you. Romans 10 verse 13 says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You believe it? See, that's too simple. That's what the thief on the cross did. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said, today you'll be with me. You'll be with me in paradise. That's what he said. Folks, here's what the Lord does. He gives you his word. And he asks you by faith to accept it. Won't you do it? Those are five considerations that I give you from the rich man and Lazarus. Life doesn't end when one dies. Consideration number two, does God know you? Consideration number three, being saved doesn't mean you won't have any hardships in this life, but I can guarantee it'll be over after you die or Jesus comes. Consideration number four, who was the rich man in the text? It was Lazarus. Consideration number five, how does a preacher do a lost person's funeral? They give their family a warning, because that's what they'd want you to do based on this text.